You're listening to the 4 o'clock headlines. I'm Scott Baba. Pope Francis criticized both U.S. presidential candidates today for what he called anti-life policies on abortion and migration. He advised American Catholics to choose who they think is the lesser evil in the upcoming U.S. elections. Jackie Quinn reports.
The leader of the Catholic Church says Americans will have to choose between the lesser of two evils in selecting a presidential candidate. With reporters on board the papal plane leaving Singapore, Pope Francis is slamming both U.S. presidential candidates, saying both are against life.
Sia quello che butta via i migranti, sia quello che uccide i bambini.
Kamala Harris for supporting abortion rights, which he says kill children, or Donald Trump for expelling migrants, which he calls a grave sin.
Non si può decidere, io non può dire.
The Pope says he's not American, so he doesn't have to decide, but tells Catholics in the U.S. they'll have to seek their own conscience and decide which candidate is, quote, the lesser evil. I'm Jackie Quinn.
A military court in Congo has convicted 37 people, including three Americans, on charges of taking part in a coup attempt and sentenced them to death. The defendants, who also included a Briton, Belgian, Canadian, and several Congolese, can appeal the verdict on charges that included terrorism, murder, and criminal association. 13 people were acquitted in the trial, which opened in June. 6 people were killed during the botched coup attempt, led by the little-known opposition figure Christian Malanga in May, that targeted the presidential palace and close ally of President Felix Tshisekedi. Malanga was fatally shot while resisting arrest. The three Americans convicted were Malanga's 20-year-old son, Marcel Malanga, Tyler Thompson Jr., and Benjamin Ruben Zalman Polin. Longtime drug cartel leader Ishmael Amayo Zambada has pleaded not guilty to U.S. narcotics trafficking charges. Participating through a Spanish language interpreter, Zambada didn't speak at today's hearing, except to give yes or no answers to a magistrate's standard questions about whether he understood procedures. Zambada also said he was feeling fine when asked. His lawyers entered the not guilty plea on his behalf. Zambada has been in U.S. custody since July 25th when he landed in a private plane at an airport outside El Paso, Texas, in the company of another fugitive cartel leader, according to federal authorities. The magistrate ordered him held until trial. President Joe Biden is calling out Donald Trump over the former president's unsubstantiated attacks on the Haitian community. Sagar Magani reports.
President Biden is calling out what he describes as attacks on the Haitian community. Donald Trump and GOP running mate J.D. Vance have falsely said Haitian immigrants in an Ohio town are eating people's pets. Vance suggests immigrants in Springfield are responsible for rising crime and rent. The insults have led to bomb threats in Springfield, school evacuations, and closures. Here at the White House,
simply wrong. There's no place in America. This has to stop what he's doing. It has to stop.
At a luncheon honoring black excellence, the president noted spokeswoman Corinne Jean-Pierre, who calls herself a proud Haitian American. Asked hours later if she takes the insults against Haitians personally.
I take it personally when any community, any vulnerable community, is attacked. Not just a community that I belong to.
Sagar Magani at the White House.
Former President Donald Trump refused to condemn recent racist and conspiratorial comments from right-wing provocateur Laura Loomer, who traveled with him earlier this week to the debate and several 9/11 memorial events. Speaking to reporters at a press conference near Los Angeles, Trump defended Loomer as a, quote, supporter. When pressed on concerns from Republican allies about his ongoing association with her, Trump acknowledged that Loomer was, quote, has, quote, strong opinions, but claimed he was unaware of her recent comments, including a post on X in which she wrote that the White House will, quote, smell like curry if Vice President Kamala Harris, who is half Indian, wins the presidential election. Boar's Head is closing the Virginia plant tied to a deadly listeria outbreak. The Sarasota, Florida-based company said it will also permanently discontinue production of liverwurst, the product linked to the deaths of at least 9 people. I'm Scott Baba for KPFA. Join us at 6 for the Pacifica Evening News.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. The other day, we did a roundtable discussion to talk about what transpired in Tuesday night's debate between Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. We covered a lot of topics, and there was humorous reference made to an outlandish remark that is attributed to Donald Trump. In the middle of the debate, he claimed that in Springfield, Ohio, Haitian migrants, he used those words, were stealing pets and eating them. And that notion not only got a laugh out of Kamala Harris, because Donald Trump seemed very, very serious in what he was saying and kind of doubled down on it, and push back when the news reporters, the moderators, said, well, we checked into that and it's nothing but a vicious rumor. It nevertheless led to a bevy of memes. When you go online almost every other day, or you know, if you see on your feed, you're going to see numerous people make references to that. There's memes of people saying, come to this Haitian restaurant where you can get dog, you know, cat and something else. And it's meant to be funny. We can get that because it was such an outlandish remark. But when you think about the plight of Haiti as it goes on now, one thing that didn't come up was the policies that Kamala and Joe Biden have towards Haiti and what Donald Trump has had towards Haiti. That was overlooked. When we look at the history of Haitians being the butt of nasty stereotypes and jokes, that one is something that goes back, for me, almost a lifetime. I'm old enough to remember when we were told to stay away from Haitians because they could give us AIDS. I'm old enough to remember when Cuban migrants could come to the United States, but Haitian migrants were turned away at our shores because they were supposed to be carrying some sort of disease. I recall that Haitians were said to be the cause of Ebola and SCORES disease, and we can go on and on. Haitians have always been the butt of jokes, and they've been the boogeyman for a very long time that's played out in policy. So today I wanted to talk to Pierre Labossière from the Haiti Action Network. And I wanted to kind of set the record straight, even though we found some humor in Donald Trump's remarks in the context of how Haitians have not only been the brunt of vicious jokes for a very long time, there's policies to back that up, including the former president referring to Haiti as a, I'm not going to use the expletive, but he called it a SH whole country. So welcome to the show, Pierre, and I'm glad that you're here.
Thank you.
I kind of laid out a little bit of the history as I understood it, but you being Haitian and fighting for justice for a long time, your immediate reaction to the remarks about Haitian immigrants stealing people's pets and eating them, it was outlandish, but how did it land with somebody like you of Haitian background?
Very strong. It landed... You know, it was outrageous. Here we go again, you know, but it takes me back to reflect on exactly the history that you have laid out. But also let's remember that from the founding of Haiti, Thomas Jefferson, who himself was somebody whose fortune was based on slavery, who I hate the term slave owner because our foremothers and forefathers are human beings, and nobody could own them, and nobody they could hold them captive and enslave them, but there was no ownership there. But we'll use that term because people understand it for all the criminality that it means. He described Haiti as a pest after the Haitian Revolution was successful. And what was the Haitian Revolution? It was kidnapped Africans or kidnapped foremothers and forefathers who rose up and broke their chains and said, no more will they be working for somebody else, would they be enslaved on somebody's plantation. And so Thomas Jefferson, who talked about freedom and liberty and independence for white people like him, but when it came to Haiti, he called Haiti a pest. And he referred to Haitians that it was a pest that had to be confined to the island. But when we look further back, they used the term savage to describe African people so as to justify the kidnapping and enslavement of African people. And so this is part of the continuing legacy of racism, not just the legacy, but the active racist ideology that has always dehumanized our people, African people, Black people from Africa and their descendants, and to dehumanize us and make people and destroy our humanity. And continuing in 1915, when the US invaded Haiti, they had terms, similar terms that they used to describe Haitian people, but as a way to disconnect us from any kind of solidarity. When the US took over, they took our gold, they stole our gold in 1914. A detachment of US soldiers came in collaboration with Haitian traders, and they stole the gold reserves of Haiti's central bank. It amounted now, it's worth millions, maybe billions of dollars that they stole. And also they used that to impose their 19-year occupation and continuing the policy of supporting dictators, you know. So this is all, but to do that, you have to dehumanize, as we Black people know, as the indigenous people know, to dehumanize human beings. And bringing it to Trump and J.D. Vance, and I'm glad you mentioned the whole thing about HIV/AIDS, because at the time in the early 80s, when they were when the Reagan administration was arresting people, Haitians on the high seas, were fleeing the Duvalier dictatorship that they were supporting, that the US foreign policy was supporting. Patients who tried to flee, who were fleeing, were being arrested on the high seas and returned to Haiti. And those who made it to the US on US shores were actually put in concentration camps. I call them concentration camps because the conditions, that's what they were. They denied Haitians their basic rights. So when we compare that, and as you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned or somebody else may have earlier, the treatment that was given to Cubans, you see, to white Cubans. To white Cubans, and also to today the Ukrainians, who were being rightfully and treated as refugees should. But the Haitians were denied that, any kind of justice. And so because there had been such an upsurge of support and solidarity with the Haitian refugees back in the early 80s, and people were denouncing the racism, then they started Rudolph Giuliani. We are talking about the partner, the attorney for Trump, started labeling the CDC under Reagan administration, was labeling Haitians as the ones, as if Haiti was where AIDS originated.
Yeah.
And so, and what you mentioned. So you see, it's part of that continuing attack and dehumanization and demonization. And today, this attack just didn't come about just like that. It's part of the political attack and the war against the Haitian people, because U.S. foreign policy is what is forcing, U.S. foreign policy has turned Haiti into a living hell and forcing Haitians to flee, to leave Haiti. And when they come, instead of being treated with respect and dignity, just like the Ukrainians, they are being scorned and abused and demeaned. But thank goodness we have good people, enough good people with common sense, and people who are saying, no, stop this. We need to put a stop to this. And so this is the silver lining to all of this.
Yeah, there's been an unfortunate scourge in many circles, including many Black circles, where folks have taken on a xenophobic type of rhetoric and attitude, where we talk about it's only Black Americans, and we want to circle around that. And they do this at the expense oftentimes, and these are, you know, folks who are kind of conservative, who've have had their voices amplified, who have Black skin. And I find it interesting because the hastening of the abolitionist movement and the fear that many white enslavers had was because of the success of the Haitian Revolution. We should be looking at our Haitian brethren as heroes and sheroes who really threw down a major gauntlet that reverberated throughout the Americas and inspired many of us who have descendants that were enslaved to fight and fight harder and put the fear of God into those slavers, that their days were up. And to see how Haiti has been treated over the years because of foreign policy almost from jump is history that needs to be really looked at, held up, and acted upon to end that type of scourge. Pierre, the other reason why I wanted to bring you on was the irony of seeing Kamala Harris laugh at those remarks, and, you know, they were ridiculous, so I understand that. But she and her administration, the Biden administration, should not be let off the hook because of their policies towards Haiti. So have they been friends to Haiti, especially it was just a few months ago that we had you all on the air to talk about the airport being taken over and, you know, and quote unquote gangs running the country and all kind of stuff. You know, again, the scourge of Haiti, which is depicted as something that can't be governed and therefore needs the U.S. to walk in there and, you know, by golly, set her straight. What's the policy? You know, are you satisfied with the policies of the Biden-Harris administration? And what should she be doing if she's going to be laughing and ridiculing Trump for his remarks? How can she back up that laugh with sound policy?
You know, I want to go back to a point you made earlier in terms of Black folks, people who look like me and you, who are taking on this or buying into this propaganda. And I'm reminded of Brother Malcolm X's speech, Message to the Grassroots, where he talked about the house Negro and the field Negro, you see? And it's been something that the enslavers have done, have been good at, divide and conquer. Some of our people act out of, you know, we are all a product of this racist system. And the racism impacts us deeply into, and we express it as self-hatred, hatred of each other. So there is that aspect of it. And that only education, I'm not talking miseducation that people get in those schools, but the education of community, each one teach one, revolutionary consciousness that has to be more work in that to tell people the truth so that our sisters and brothers know. But there are also others who are part of a class that benefits from the exploitation and the subjugation of their fellow Black folks. And this is what Malcolm X was describing in his Message to the Grassroots. And I recommend that people listen to that and keep Haiti and also Black America and Africans in the diaspora as well in our minds, because there is a distinction, a class distinction that is very much where you have Black folks who are allies, who have been allies of the white enslavers. Thank goodness they are a minority, but there is enough there to prevent the kind of successful challenge to the system. And this is linked to what I'm talking about in terms of the question that you asked about Joe Biden. It was Joe Biden, the plight of Haiti, where Haiti is at today. It has been the result of U.S. foreign policy. It has been the result of a concerted action by both Republicans and Democrats to crush Haiti, demolish Haiti, so that Haiti would even disappear as a nation. And this is no hyperbole, because at present, our justice system has been destroyed, supposedly by gangs. But when you go back into the history, not only of Haiti, but the history of Africa and what's going on today, you see that colonization was brought about by using elements in the society who were enemies of the society itself. You see, by weaponizing them, arming them, giving them all kinds of support, political support, weapons, and what have you, and using them as part of your armies to do the destruction. For example, in Haiti right now, people are talking about Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier, and some are trying to convince others that this guy is a revolutionary. But these gangs are paramilitary forces that are helping the white powers to destroy Haiti. They're attacking their own people, destroying schools, universities, hospitals, and that kind of stuff. So you see, this is what's going on. But this whole situation was brought about by US foreign policy. And you've had Joe Biden, when he was senator, back in 1994, when Haitian refugees were fleeing from the massacres, the gang rape of women that the US was supporting, the FRAP. FRAP was a death squad that was established very similar to today's gangs. Actually, it's a different name for who they are exactly. And so he said whether if Haiti sunk to the bottom of the Caribbean Sea or was up 300 feet, it wouldn't affect, it was no problem for US, it wouldn't be a problem for US interest. You see, this kind of callous, racist, vile statement, you see, at the time when our brothers and sisters were being massacred in Haiti, was horrible. And so we've had the policy, what's the present situation of the current gangs? They were all established. This is according to the UN and to the US recently, that sanctioned former President Martelly. Who put Martelly in power? It was during the Obama administration. It was Hillary Clinton who actually left her trip to go to Egypt at the time of the Arab Spring, and she came to Haiti and got Martelly and put pressure on the Haitian Electoral Council to put Martelly into second place in the running, and clearly favored him and imposed him as president of Haiti. And wow. Later, Jovenel Moïse, who succeeded, the PHTK party of which they are formed, is a creation of the US and supported by the US. And those people are the people in Ariel Henry who created those gangs that are now so-called gangs, but they are paramilitary death squads that are running the people of Haiti out of Haiti and making Haiti a hell on earth. And so Trump supported that as well. And so you right. see, it's a broader question, but everybody's hiding it as if, no, he's the guilty one, laughing. But, you know, David, I tell you this, what is needed, what will happen, is greater solidarity of people with the Haitian people in our struggle for national liberation. We have to free Haiti. The people of Haiti are fighting inside Haiti for that struggle. And we need international solidarity in order to crush the crimes of imperialism that are taking place in Haiti today.
Pierre Labussière, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We'll have you come back when we're not in the middle of our fund drive and talk a little bit longer, but we appreciate you. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Picasso.
What?
And Maya.
Who?
My last name is Susana.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. Want to talk to a couple of people who were involved in something that I think should resonate with a lot of you. It is Love Over Fear. It's an interfaith movement, and this will be jumping off on the weekend of September 14th and 15th. I have Francisco Herrera and Eileen Amina Lay. She's a Chinese Muslim woman visual artist, organizer of Under the Sky, One Family Gatherings, educator and storyteller. And Francisco, the Chicano cultural worker, musician, experience with cultivating healing and safety within communities impacted by war, torture, and the co-founder of Camante Cultural Foundation. And we have a number of other people, but we have you two here today. So Francisco, you had hit us up. Tell us about the Love Over Fear. What is this about?
Yeah, thank you very much, Davey. Nice to be here with you. Love Over Fear is precisely that, that love is a courageous, love is intelligent, love is effective in terms of responding to the realities of our community. We have created a situation here, or we've allowed a situation to arise that when there's a situation of violence, more violence and criminalization has been put on it. By different more punitive kind of legal structures and legal campaigns, you know, really kind of hounding on hysteria and fear versus love, which is communities coming together that we've seen many, many years, exercises of that, communities coming together saying, you know, we live in these communities, we can take care of these communities, city, give us the support so that we can do that. The Interfaith Movement for Human Integrity got together with a few of us artists, creatives, as they call it now, este, Amina Lay, B. Dukes, yours truly here, Francisco Herrera, created a fund, or we're part of a fund that the Bay Area Creative Core of the San Francisco Foundation, together with California Arts Commission, put monies together to look at that piece. How do we as community create safety? How do we create peace? And it's been a wonderful experience where we've been doing different kind of projects. And one of those has been actually populating the Fruitvale Bar Plaza, where there's been a lot of violence in the last year, and creating a space of safety, creating a space of culture, families, community. Amina will speak a little bit of the work she's been doing with Instagram Live, and B. Dukes has been putting together a photo series of folks who've been involved in just that. How do you create safety in the community? And that's the question we've been addressing. How do we create safety as a community-based folks, Davey, through the arts?
Before I bring in Amina, we've had these type of conversations before. And a couple of things come to mind. One, I'm going to use the word intentionality. I like to use that because I think when you use words like love and faith, it kind of suggests like, you know, I just toss it up and let the spirits take hold. But I think when I hear love and I couple it with intentionality, then it means I'm being very deliberate. Like I'm going out of my way. I'm going down the street around the corner and I'm knocking on the door of Francisco Herrera and I'm saying, you know, let's establish a friendship. Let's establish a rapport. Let's get to know each other. And we start building off that. But it ain't going to happen if I'm just sitting, you're 20 blocks away from me and I'm here, you're there. I have to take some sort of initiative. And I say that because I think when we're talking about community safety, and if the foundation of this is all of us knowing each other, how often do we take the chance to get to know people, one, and two, do we have the skill set to cultivate a relationship, especially if we're traumatized, angry, or have all sorts of issues? That's one question. And the second is,
Do I have the bandwidth? I have enough friends. I don't want to walk around the corner and say hello to Francisco. I'm still trying to deal with Amina, who's next door, you know? Yeah. So how do you kind of, you know, build off that just for a second, that intentionality? Because this is what this sounds like you're talking about.
Yeah. I think this is where the historical relationship, for example, of the Interfaith Movement for Human Integrity, used to be CLUE about 15 years ago, who has been working. The Interfaith Movement is made up of religious communities for the most part, but throughout the city, throughout the Bay Area, and in fact, throughout the state, of folks who are rooted in their neighborhood, right? And they're working precisely from there with the folks that know each other. And so you've got that base of support. With us, for example, of Caminante Cultural Foundation, we're here now in the Fruitvale, East Oakland, and we've been working here the last 30, 40 years in and out, as well as the Mission District. And so same thing, we're rooted in this community, doing statewide work, but rooted here. And so we start off with those relationships. Amina will speak to this as well. And so I think that it does have to start right there where you're at, like you're saying, Davey. And from there, on the one hand, based on the traditions, the religious tradition that opens up that space, because religious traditions, we know there's been a lot of negative stuff with religion and religious groups, but the reality is that there's also very positive experiences that give us practices of dialogue, of respect, which is the essence, right, of the spirituality, is where do we find those common spaces to be able to say, we live in this community, we live in these communities, and how do we take charge and be intentional, like you're saying, about taking charge. And so that space connected with one of the things of Love Over Fear that's intentional as well, is that we're working on how the city budget, for example, in Oakland, other areas as well, but in Oakland, how does the city budget represent that intentionality of dialogue, of communities taking leadership and being able to have input and create spaces of faith, of support, of safety, of friendship, and where people are feel the trust to come out of their house to the front yard. Because I'm telling you, right here on Foothill on 36, we started the year on the 1st of January, 5 in the morning, plop, 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 plop. And one young man was murdered here with one of the drive-bys, right? And so how do we make the ability to build that trust, Davey, I think is a big question.
Let me bring Amina in. Amina, you've been in the forefront for a very long time, trying to bridge communities. In particular, a lot of your work bridging the Asian and Black communities, especially when there were these anti-hate things going on. You've also have been very intentional in using your work as an artist to help heal and bring attention and build community. Talk a little bit about this, the Love Over Fear, you know, some of the additional work that you've been doing, and let's build off of some of the things that we've already laid down in this conversation.
Yeah, well, thank you, Davey D. You know, it's an honor for me to be on your show. A lot of the work that Davey D does inspires me, you know, as an artist. But yes, I'm very grateful to be on this Love Over Fear campaign, because I'm excited to get to not only lead with my artistry, but with my faith. So as a Chinese Muslim artist, it's a really great way to, like you talk about intentionality, to bring what the specifics, what love looks like, love in action. So I'm part of the Love Over Fear campaign as a host. I do this live IG live podcast, Unveiling Love, Stories of Community Change. So when we speak about stepping out of our comfort zones and getting into different neighborhoods, well, you know, we're in the age of social media. We get so much of our information there. Why don't we have these open conversations? So this campaign is to unite community leaders, folks, neighborhoods, the Black, Latinx, and Asian community. And I think a lot of the conversation can provide us the education that we need. Not only being educated around like budgets and policies, and but also getting to know the stories of folks that are on the front line doing this.
Right.
And they've laid the foundation for us to stand on, right? So what was their motivation? What was their defining moments that shaped their efforts, creating solidarity? So these real lived experiences and personal moments, I think that's, you know, where we can really get educated. And then I can express that through, you know, folks know that I paint and I do that, but this is my other canvas, creating the dialogue. So I'm very, very excited to build on this.
Right. As we close out, there's economic incentive. There's political ascension, political gain. There is hateful satisfaction to not see communities come together. It could be I'm a police department. Francisco's getting money. I want more money for us. We want to see a disruption. You know, there's people that have adapted an attitude that's like, what do you mean all these different people coming together? You got Black, brown, Asian, trans people. What's this? I don't like that. That's not my philosophy. We need to kick up some dust. And that has always been a challenge in our community. So how do we start to deal with the folks that don't want to see any sort of love and unity? That's been a constant battle that we've had to engage. How do we heal from that? And how does what you're doing protect ourselves and fortify this love over fear when I'm trying to make a dollar and you're interfering with this, with my economics by bringing people together? If you bring people together, then what do I need a badge and a gun for? That's a very real thing.
That's a real thing. That's a real thing. Look, this whole fallacy that there's no money is such an illusion and such a lie. You know, it's like you got big companies in Oakland who are not paying their fair share. When, and you know, Nikki, folks at the City Hall have been trying to push on this thing for companies to pay their fair share, who are basically getting corporate welfare and play off of this idea that there's no money. And the reality is, a lot of things we do without money. For example, Peace Initiative, we've done with very, very little money. People already have budgets and they're all putting their the stone soup story, right? But the fact of the matter is, with California is the fifth largest economy in the world, and there is no reason at all that all our projects cannot be funded and cannot be. What's missing is for us to come together and disrupt that lie that there's no money, that we only have a quarter. We don't have a quarter. We have a dollar and a half. And this is what we're coming together and being able to talk about. Like Amina was saying, okay, let's look at the economy. Let's look at budgets. Let's look at the money being spent and how money is not being coming in, because we have some welfare cheats who make billions of dollars off of our labor and are paying their fair share. So how do we get that going, right? But I think we do have to demystify the lie that there's no money. That is a big lie. And number one, we do a lot of things without money. And secondly, we have to organize to get that money flowing in the right direction.
Appreciate that. Aline, Amina, I'm going to let you get the last word. Anything you want to let us know about this whole process and, you know, steps and directions we should be taking moving forward?
You know, you mentioned that there's folks that are satisfied, you know, with our division. You know, I hope, even if it's not a lot of us that want unity, I think for us to stay together and maintain and build that is very, very powerful. I think growing up, I kind of understand that survival mode. You know, I was in a place where I could have really went left, you know, but it was getting to know my friends' families and going to their neighborhood and getting education from their moms. getting love from her grandparents. I was so blessed to grow up in Richmond and raised around Oakland. And none of that cost money. You know, it was just really about that connection that gave me the education that lifted me from survival mode into the woman I am today. So, yes, we can talk about, you know, the budget, and we will continue to work towards that. But I hope that we will be fearless, love over fear, and be proactive in the small moments of our daily lives to spark these conversations, to get to know your local leaders or your neighbors, or, you know, go on walks and speak to who lives around. You know what I mean? Those are
right.
It's about lifestyle change rooted in love in a fearless way. And how does that look like in these current times? So we got to stay together.
Eileen Leigh, thank you so much. And Francisco Herrera, thank you very much. Celebrating Independence Community Concert. It is happening Saturday and Sunday, September 14th and 15th at the Fruitvale BART Plaza. Definitely come out, and we're talking about love over fear. So thank you for this discussion, and we look forward to seeing you all. We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all, it's that time again. Gather around, let's make some noise for KPFA, the voice of the Bay, the station that always brings the joys, from music to talk and stories that walk, the walk of the people, hear the call. We're tuning in, lifting voices that win. Now we need help from y'all. Call up, dial in, let's begin. KPFA needs you. 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732. Your support keeps us strong. Your support keeps us true. KPFA needs you. It's time to unite and make a choice. KPFA is our community's voice. We speak truth to power in every hour. We are free speech radio, blooming like a flower. Join the call, help us stand tall. Dial in, contribute, support us, y'all. Call up, dial in, let's begin. KPFA needs you. 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732. Your support keeps us strong. Your support keeps us true. KPFA needs you.
KPFA needs you.
There you have it. We need you. We need each and every one of you this afternoon. First of all, let me thank our guests, Pierre Labutière, Haitian Action Network. Thank you for dropping jewels and gems this afternoon, sharing with us what these terrible stereotypes being resurrected about Haitian migrants is doing to the community and what we need to do to stop it. And also want to thank Francisco and Eileen for letting us know about Love Over Fear and the type of things that they are, steps they're taking to move the needle forward. So with that being said, you heard the little jingle, little song, giving out our phone number, 1-800-439-5732. I'll add to that, we have a website where you can look around and see all sorts of wonderful things that might pique your interest. They range from books, to hoodies, to hats, to mugs, to bumper stickers, all sorts of stuff. I'm asking you to go to kpfa.org, again, kpfa.org. So, it's this time that we come to you and we appeal and say, we're in the fall fund drive. We have financial goals that we need to meet. And we're going to ask you and see if you will be willing to step up and help support us in that endeavor. To entice you a little bit, let me tell you a few trinkets that I have that may pique your interest. We have a KPFA election night watch party that is happening on Tuesday, November 5th. From 7 to 10, most of us who you hear on these airwaves will be there that night. It's going to be at the New Parkway. Tremendous implications on the election nationally, statewide, and locally. And so we'll be doing coverage and we'll be watching, and we'd like to be in community with you. At the same time, you can help support this station by making a generous pledge of $120 or $12 a month, and we will get you in the door so we can kill a couple of birds with one stone. You can be with us on election night, and at the same time, you know that your $120 is going to a good cause, and that good cause is to keep 94.1 KPFA alive and well and in tip-top shape, allowing us to be able to move and pivot, speak truth to power, talk about the issues you find near and dear to your hearts. And so I want to thank everybody who has pledged this afternoon, and I'm asking you to join them. So again, 1-800-439-5732. And I'm asking you to pledge online at kpfa.org. Again, kpfa.org. I'm looking at the sheet here, and we have Roger from the city of Berkeley, who has put up a $300 challenge match. So if we can make $300 in pledges starting now until the end of the show, we can go places. We can make a dent. We can make some progress. So now that Roger stepped up, who will join him? Who will come up this afternoon and say, you know what, let me dial 1-800-439-5732? Or who will go online and pledge at kpfa.org? And say, here's my $10 a month. Here's my $100 pledge. Here's my $120 pledge. Put that towards the challenge match. Now's your chance to do this. We talk about cooperative economics. We talk about all of us taking a little bit of the weight. Don't put it all on one shoulder. And that's usually we put it all on one shoulder. The person whose shoulder or entity whose shoulder the financial burden has taken on kind of gets to dictate things. And you see that play out in mainstream media. Big oil comes along and say, you know what? Here's $1 million. Just don't talk about fracking, or just don't talk about maybe some of the ships that have spilled water and contaminated the bay. Don't talk about alternatives to oil, because we're paying you $1 million. That's what the money does. It might buy a certain type of bias in reporting. It might buy your silence. But if we have a station like this where everybody is $100 here, $100 here, $50 here, we can kind of speak truth to power and don't have to worry about it. Why? Because this is listener sponsored. And we know that you have our back. And you expect us to speak loudly and boldly, to speak truth to power and not be afraid. We can only do that with your donation. We can only do that when you pledge. So I'll give out that number one more time. 1-800-439-5732. Again, 1-800-439-5732. We have one person on the line. I want to get another two people if we can do that. If you're pledging $100 each, we can meet the match that Roger from Berkeley has put forth and challenged us with. So again, 1-800-439-5732. Or you can pledge generously online at kpfa.org. Again, pfa.org. Now, we have a couple of things here. I have a couple of books I'm looking at. Democracy Awakening, Notes on the State of America, $100 pledge. Or we also have Capital, Critique of the Political Economy, Volume 1. You'll find that when you go online to our website. In fact, you'll see a whole lot of books there when you hit the donate button. And I want you to peruse around. And what I just talked about, Democracy Awakening, Notes on the State of America by Heather Cox and Heather Cox Richardson, who is the historian. And I'll tell you what it says. It says, at a time when the very foundation of American democracy seems under threat, the lessons of the past offer a roadmap for navigating a moment of political crisis. And so this historian, Heather Cox Richardson, delves into the tumultuous journey of American democracy, tracing the roots of Donald Trump's authoritarianism experiment to the earliest days of the Republic. We're looking for you to make a $100 pledge this afternoon, or you can do $10 a month. I want to invite you to go to kpfa.org. Again, kpfa.org, and you'll find that as a thank you gift. We have 10 Myths About Israel by Ilan Pappe, another historian who pulls no punches, and we have that for a $100 pledge or $10 a month. So there are a lot of thank you gifts when you go online, and I don't want to bore you by, you know, going through everything, but hopefully a couple of those things piqued your interest and is motivating you in these last 8 minutes of our show to go up there and say, you know what, let me put down a couple of dollars. Let me pledge $500. Let me pledge $1,000. All you have to do, though, is make that phone call, 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732. Now, today is a very nice day. It's sunny out here, a lot of people out and about, and you might be saying, you know, I'm going to do that in a little while. I don't want you to put it off. I don't want you to put it off, because if you put it off, you know, it's Friday, you're going to get into some other things and you'll forget. So I want you to stop what you're doing right this very moment. Just stop. Take a deep breath. Okay, you stop. You're taking a deep breath. Now, I want you to go to your phone. Or if you're on your computer, I want you to go to the website. If you're on your phone, I want you to call right now, 1-800-439-5732. We have two people on the line. Can we get a third? Is there a third person out there that will call in right now? 1-800-439-5732. We have two people. We need a third person on these phone lines right now. Who's going to be that third person? Will it be somebody from San Francisco? Will it be somebody from Oakland? Will it be somebody from the North Bay, Santa Rosa, Windsor, Cotati, Petaluma? Will one of you call this afternoon? 1-800-439-5732. For those of you who are near a computer, if you're at work or you're just getting ready to log off before you log off, or if you're in the middle of an assignment, stop what you're doing. It's still going to be there. That assignment is still going to be there. And trust me, there's a lot of traffic right now, so you logging off and rushing is not going to help you, because you're going to be sitting in the traffic. I can see. All right. So you're on your computer right now. I want you to make, you know, type in kpfa.org, kpfa.org. Now you get there. See, we have a wonderful website. We have pictures on the front. We have all sorts of things going on. There's a donate button right here on the right-hand side. Click that donate button, and it'll open it up to our pledge drive page. And you see that we have a lot of things going on. We have this wonderful calendar. You know, I say get your holiday gifts early. Put in the order right now, you know, and also support this radio station by doing that. So I have this wonderful KPFA calendar. It's a wall calendar, something to hang up. In fact, if you are at work, I say get one of these things so you can put it up on your job and let them know. Make a statement. The KPFA calendar. Calendar that celebrates all the social justice events and icons that you are into. And so you can educate people as well as let them know what the date and time is. $100 pledge will get you that calendar. And so I'm asking you to step up and be one of those people to say, I can do this. I can do this, Brutus. So get the KPFA 2025 wall calendar. We have two people on the line. We technically had three, but somebody got off the line. So we just have two. So we need a third person. I want to see like three people on the line. And we could do this. So I'm asking you to make the phone call 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732. Don't be shy. Don't be putting it off and saying, you know, somebody else will make the call. No, it needs to be you. It needs to be you. I want you to look to the left and look to the right. Now, when I was in college, they said, look to the left, Dave, and look to the right, and these people aren't going to graduate with you. I'm going to flip that. Look to the left and look to the right, and all three of you are going to make the phone call right now. Together, in unity, like we're saying, love over fear. Big shout out to our guests. You know, we're going to do it together. We're going to be in unity. We're not going to be divided. So look to your left and look to your right, and let's make that phone call. 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732. Now, to the folks sitting in front of your computer or on your phone, you know, before you go to your IG page or, you know, scroll around, I need you to make that pledge. Because if you don't do it, who will? Who is going to make the pledge if you don't do it? So will you go to kpfa.org? Will you do that right now? Will you make a pledge? $100 pledge, $10 a month, $12 a month, $15 a month. And you might be asking yourself, as we're coming down to the last 3 minutes of the show, Dave, why should I do this? Isn't radio free? Technically, we're free, yes. You hit 94.1, you can hear us. But behind the scenes, there's financial infusion to these outlets. So on the commercial side, they have commercials. They might have 10, 15 minutes of commercials. That's what pays for that free airwaves, quotation around the word free. For us, it's you and your pledge. Listen to sponsored. Something that we do. We do these pledge drives maybe 3-4 times a year. It's kind of a drag at times. I get it. You want to just hear like the full interviews and regular programming with so much going on, but we have to do this so that we are in a position to really dig deep into some of these key issues. We can only do this with your pledge. We can only do this when you go, I can do $10 a month. I can do a $25 pledge. I can do $5 a month or $15 a month, or I can just do a $500 pledge. We need each and every one of you to do that. So again, 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732 or 1-800-HEY-KPFA. And again, you can pledge online and look at all the wonderful things that we have. Did I tell you we have these Hard Knock Radio black hoodies, $100 pledge, $10 a month? You look good in the hoodies. I mean, today is kind of warm, but, you know, winter is coming. As they say, Game of Thrones, winter is coming. It's about to get cold out here, and you're going to need that hoodie. So 1-800-439-5732 or 1-800-HEY-KPFA. We need a couple of more people to make the phone calls this afternoon. I want to thank everybody who has called in. We have one person on the line, so I'm looking for somebody else to step up as we get ready to turn the baton over to Flashpoints. Again, 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732.
That was Dennis.
As we turn it over to Flashpoints, Want to thank you all for being in the wings and holding it down. We're out for now. Until next week. Peace, y'all.
KPFA, KPFB Berkeley, 88.1.